I was 11 years old the first time I saw the place, tucked away and surrounded by trees. The simple house belonged to my aunt and uncle, who built it themselves after settling in the land of Israel. It was 1934, a time when the area was home to only a few thousand Jews. Its roads remained unpaved, the land largely unsettled. As we got closer, I realized that the trees were not a kind I'd ever seen before. They were orange groves, planted by hand. My older brother, Gigi, and I set off at once, racing up and down the perfectly placed rows, each tree bearing more than 100 plump, bright fruits. The remaining white blossoms filled the air with an enchanting fragrance. In my mind, I was suddenly back in my small Jewish village, back in the shtetl, as they were called, back to the moment I'd first seen an orange, back to a place so very far away. Our shtetl was known as Vishneva. It sat near the border between Poland and Russia, a strip of land surrounded by forest that existed in a seemingly permanent state of winter. There were often weeks on end where bitterly frigid winds would whip through the narrow birch trees, sweeping unforgivingly against the patrons in the market. Even during the summer, it felt like we rarely saw the sun. And yet, despite the cold and isolation, there was a warmth and magic to the shtetl, a culture of kindness and community. We had found, in each other, a place to belong. We lived a simple life. There were only three roads, each lined with bare wooden houses. There was no running water and no electricity, but there was a train station just 3 miles away, and from its travelers and its shipments we got a glimpse and a taste of the world beyond the forest. I still remember that powerful moment, that first orange. My parents had taken me to the home of their friends, where a large group had already gathered. A young man had arrived, recently returned from the land of Israel, and was regaling the crowd with grand stories of a distant land. He spoke of endless sunshine and exotic culture, of patches of desert with fruit-bearing trees, of tough, tanned Jews who worked with their hands and fought with them too. When he finished, he turned to a box behind him and lifted it for those gathered to see. There was an audible gasp in the room. There was a ceremony to his presentation, a formality that suggested this had been done many times before. One by one, each person in the room chose a package from the box, delicately undoing the parchment wrapping to reveal a ripe Jaffa orange, picked straight from the tree. When it was my turn, I was slow and deliberate, nervous that I might do something wrong. I held the orange to my nose, breathing in my first smell of citrus. It was truly extraordinary, in color, in fragrance, in taste, as otherworldly as anything a young boy could have imagined. It was so much more than a piece of fruit. It was a symbol of my hopes and aspirations. My family had lived in the area for several generations, and indeed the area had, for hundreds of years, been a place for Jews to call home. But despite its simple beauty, neither of my parents considered Vishneva their permanent home. They saw it more as a way station, one of many stops over thousands of years along the road back to our homeland. The land of Israel was not just the dream of my parents, it was the animating purpose of so many people we knew. It seemed that at every gathering the conversation turned to talk of going to Zion, of leaving the shtetl we loved behind, of joining the pioneers who were reclaiming our land. We spoke often of Theodor Herzl, the founder of the Zionist movement, who argued that the future of the Jewish people depended on the existence of a Jewish state, one bonded together not just by religion, but by language and nationality. Let them give us sovereignty over a piece of the earth's surface, just sufficient for the needs of our people. Then we will do the rest.